All right. Now, welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Central podcast. It has been one hell of a long time since we recorded the last one. What's it been, like over a month?
It's been too long.
Let's leave it at that. It's been way too long.
And overdue.
Exactly. And instead of really talking about what's been going on with the NBA right now, I'm pretty sure you guys are familiar with the way things are transpiring. Trade deadline's coming up really fast. We're already, what is it, like January?
Yeah, it's getting pretty close.
Yeah, like February, mid-February.
Is it February 6th? I think I might be wrong, but
it's around that time.
It's creeping up pretty close.
Yeah, All-Star weekend soon, voting just stopped. But going through all this, seeing new players come into the NBA, you see rookies shining, Ja Morant. And then also, I was able to see over the years, because of it was the New Year's, it's now 2020, I saw a lot of videos showing highlights throughout the past decade and even throughout the rest of NBA history. And one highlight that stuck out to me personally was Kevin Durant's 4-point play against the Grizzlies. That is, to me, one of the craziest shots I've ever seen, just the degree of difficulty. And that got us thinking here, let's talk about just the NBA, like, from the past. And why not better to start off with Kevin Durant himself, who's kind of went through an amazing journey.
Throwback.
To me, Kevin Durant is probably one of the top five greatest scorers I've ever seen.
Top five. I can't say anything.
The dude can put the ball in the basket better than probably anyone that I've seen. Being 7 feet tall and to do the things he did, he's like Dirk Nowitzki but on steroids. That's how good this guy is. And when he left OKC, you know, he got a lot of backlash and stuff like that. But I kind of supported his decision to go. What about you guys?
For me, I guess I was kind of in the middle because, like, I'm not an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, so I can't ride the bandwagon and say I can't get mad at him for that because I'm a Toronto Raptors fan. I don't know how it would feel to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan. It would break my heart. But I didn't really say anything. I didn't complain. I'm like, we'll see what Durant could do for the Warriors. You know, like, a lot of my friends from high school, they were saying, oh, he's a ring chaser. And like him and DeMarcus Cousins as well.
Yeah,
too,
I have beef with the whole ring chaser thing.
I didn't really complain. I didn't really say anything. I was like, we'll see what happens. We'll see. You know what? He made his decision. He's a grown man. No one's going to stop him. If he wins the championship, hey, it worked. And that's what he did.
One question. Is Dirk Nowitzki's ring, that championship he won, is that worth more than both of Kevin Durant's championships?
No, I think all rings are created equal, for sure. I think what Kevin Durant did, especially in the way he did it.
What was it, 16-1, right?
No, it wasn't even that. It was the fact that he went to LeBron's house and hit the game winner in his face with the clock ticking down the fourth quarter.
I swear, back-to-back years, he did the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Dude's a cold-blooded killer.
Ever since Rucker Park.
And I might go off on a little rant real quick.
Let's hear it.
The fact that people say that Kevin Durant is a ring chaser, that annoys me so much because the media, fans, literally everybody puts this big deal on rings. And if you don't have a ring, you're a loser. You know, we look at guys like Barkley, Stockton, Malone. Those guys aren't considered NBA greats because they haven't won a championship. So if you're 25, 27-year-old Kevin Durant,
exactly,
the clock's ticking.
Exactly.
is ticking on you. You're like, oh, man, hey, if I don't win a ring, then my career is deemed not worthy of guys like Michael Jordan,
legend
LeBron
status,
James.
And stuff
exactly.
Like
I'm not a legend, exactly.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to say quickly, because you said John Stockton, and this really like hits me in my nerve, like strikes a chord with me, because John Stockton is one of the greatest point guards to ever play.
You can argue
basketball.
He's the greatest.
And exactly, the greatest. But the thing is, no one takes him into consideration just because
he doesn't
of
have
the
a ring on
the
his finger.
But like, take in. Who has the most assists in NBA history? Magic Johnson?
Nope.
No.
That's the definition of a team
Jason
player right
Kidd?
There.
Nope. No. Steve Nash? No.
Nope. Nope.
John Stockton has the most assists.
Yeah.
Who has the most steals in NBA history? Allen Iverson? No.
No.
Is it one of the best like defensive players, Michael Jordan, perimeter-wise? No. It's John Stockton. John Stockton has, like, rings don't define you as a player. Obviously, it helps with the resume, but it doesn't define you as a player. And it's mainstream media is kind of what led Durant to, I think, making that move to Golden State.
It's the media. It's the fans. It's everybody. It's the fact that Kevin Durant was pretty much forced to go to Golden State. He probably didn't want to go there if he had the choice.
Yeah.
But he knew he had to win as soon as possible, really. And he knew that with Westbrook, that wasn't coming in the next maybe 5 to 10 years. So the fact, if we put less emphasis, I get it, winning is important. If we're, like, everybody's trying to win, that's the ultimate goal. But once we deem a player not a legend or his career doesn't matter because he hasn't won, which is, guys, remember, only one team wins every single year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's hard for guys to win championships. It's not easy.
Oh, trust me. I didn't hesitate when Durant went to Warriors. I posted on Snapchat. I was upset. Like, that was my ultimate reaction. Well. I was like, bro,
And people why? Called this guy a snake. Yeah, they said he was a snake.
No, I was mad at him at first. I agree with my friends. I was like, yo, you guys are right. Absolutely. I'm with you guys. You know, I'm hopping on that Oklahoma bandwagon of fans. But I mean, if he did that, he all proved us wrong. The fact that he would go to another team and already win a championship like that, and form a bond and chemistry with players and clutch plays, he proved us wrong.
And the fact
and we can't back it up. We can't say anything. He won.
He didn't go to Golden State and just stood in the corner. He didn't go to Golden State and said, you know what?
Exactly. I'm
just
going to preach.
Dude went to Golden State and was the best player on the team.
He did it, bro.
He was the best. He's better than Steph Curry. Two-time MVP. First, unanimous.
Yeah, the best on the team.
Unanimous MVP in NBA history.
Kevin Durant went to that team and became their go-to guy.
He proved us wrong. He proved me wrong. I'm in the wrong for this one.
And look what happened to them without KD in the playoffs this past season.
They needed KD to beat the Raptors. If KD plays, the Warriors win in 5 games. I can tell you that much.
I could agree with, as a Raptors fan.
Yeah.
Hey, no one had more fun at the parade than I did, but I'm real.
Yeah.
The Raptors would have got crushed.
Did you see him light us up in the second quarter?
Come on.
Before we went.
I didn't want
he was lighting us up.
And not to say, like, it literally looked like he was on one leg. It literally looked like it.
Kawhi Leonard is one of the best defenders in the league. Kawhi Leonard can't touch Kevin Durant's shoes.
One thing I'll say, when they faced off in the regular season, how much points did KD have? I swear he had like 51.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I remember it was one game.
But for me, I just hate the fact that people look at Kevin Durant in a negative light, because he did what everybody else on this planet would have done.
He went to the Warriors.
He went to another team to make his life better. It's like taking a job at another place so you can improve yourself. That's what he did.
And a lot of
it bothers me when people say that Kevin Durant's a snake, because he's not.
And a lot of it is mass media and social media. Like, in general, players are going to be defensive and argue why they're justified in any specific reason at any point in any topic, right? This media creates a specific persona and reputation that the players have to endure and take in and live every day of their lives. And we don't know them. And sometimes they're actually everyday normal people. So we also have to remember that.
Yeah. You can tell
go ahead.
There's one player who you could tell the media's taken a big toll on them throughout their career, especially now. Kyrie Irving. You could tell that, like, just way, like, the media coverage on him, it really gets to his head. And, like, some players just aren't mentally tough like that. You know, Kobe, you can say whatever you want to Kobe. Kobe does not give, like, I'm not even going to say the word because you guys know what I mean. But, like, he does not care one bit. But there's some players who do. And you could tell KD, that was in the back of his head the whole time.
Yeah, you mentioned Kyrie. Kyrie, it's a interesting situation. Kyrie wants everyone to believe that he's, like, the smartest guy in the room, when he really only went to Duke for like a semester.
Yeah.
I get it. You want to be like some philosopher, you know, intellectual. Like, I get it. It's cool. But the fact that you said that your team needs two pieces once Kevin Durant comes back and you were out for 23 games
makes no sense.
And when you come back, they lose. Come on, Kyrie. You can't do that.
Especially since he had a bad game. If you drop if you drop like 65. In a super crazy efficient game and your team still loses, then you have something to kind of back yourself up.
Dude, they have a better record when you're not playing.
Spencer Dinwiddie was playing amazing carrying that team.
Thank you, fantasies on my
fantasy. So when you come back, you got to be silent.
And they lost to the Sixers without Joel Embiid. Come on.
Well, there's no shame in that. It's not the fact. There's no shame in really losing to the Sixers because they're not.
They're great. Yeah, they're a great team. They're a great
even
team,
without Joel Embiid. Once they get Kevin Durant back and they lose to the Sixers,
then it's gonna be an issue.
Then you got to worry.
Yeah,
but Kevin Durant isn't even back yet, and you're talking about once he comes back, we need other players to complement DeAndre Jordan and Kevin Durant? What are you talking about, buddy?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Yeah. Now you throw guys like Jared Allen and
Joe Harris
under the bus.
Karis LeVert, too.
And now, and they're like, oh, so what? We're not a part of the future?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, come on, Kyrie. Yeah. You can't do that.
Exactly.
You're one of my favorite players, but that's not appropriate.
And there's a few players that come to mind when you think about players from the past. Now, Kyrie Irving nowadays is considered a fan favorite throughout so many young basketball fans now. Kevin Durant is up there too. One thing I want to talk about before we talk about some other players from the past. Kevin Durant with Brooklyn, when he's healthy, where do they finish next year?
Next year is going to be an interesting year.
They're top three team in the league.
Yeah. I say NBA Finals.
I say they have a chance. The Raptors will always be there. Once Ujiri's running the Raptors, or as long as Ujiri's running the Raptors, I should say.
Yeah.
They will be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We all know Philly's probably going to be there.
As long as Giannis stays in Milwaukee, they're going to be
there. And Milwaukee's going to be there.
Boston.
If Miami adds another piece, too.
So Brooklyn's going to, it's not going to be a walk in the park, but I do think that they should be the favorites to come out.
Even if they get an 80% KD with that same core they have,
yeah,
that opens up their offense. Crazy.
Plus they're well coached too. Kenny Atkinson. They're not coached by a scrub.
Sean Marks is an amazing GM. He was able to construct with the limited amount of pieces. That team is amazing.
Especially with Billy King, you know, putting the team back 100 years.
Yeah, yeah. Take in, the Brooklyn Nets were in probably the worst position any NBA team could, any sports team could ever be in.
Right.
You guys want to talk about that trade? Boston trade?
I mean, there's nothing to really talk about. Billy King folded.
That trade is what literally gave the reputation for Danny Ainge of being an
Trader
amazing
Danny.
But
you can argue
that since then, been just going down.
Right. And
Other than the IT trade,
Brooklyn's trending up, right? And yeah, to think about, what was it? When was the trade? 2014, maybe? I can't remember the 2013. Around that time,
yeah,
the trade went down. Who would have thought that the Nets would be in a better position than the Knicks?
That's exactly what I was going to allude to.
5 or 6 years later.
Yeah.
A team that had none of their first round picks taken. Their first round picks, Boston had, they had what, the number 3 pick? No, the first year they had a lottery pick. They picked James Young. Then they had Jaylen Brown with the number 3 pick. And then even one of the picks led to Jason Tatum as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's all about patience.
And also, they traded up. No, they had the first pick. Remember?
They traded down for Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Jason Tatum.
To tell you how dysfunctional the Knicks are, I don't know if you guys heard this story, but a fan at the Laker game hit a half court shot and won $100,000 for making the half court shot.
I did not know that.
Okay? Wow. I saw
nice.
That clip.
And then
made
the same exact shot at the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what his prize was?
How much?
Just take a wild guess.
It's the Laker fan won.
The Laker fan won $100,000.
Has to be more.
Guess what the fan at the Garden got?
$250K.
Did he get like season tickets for the Knicks?
To do a 250K.
Oh man, that would have been terrible.
Yeah, that would have been terrible.
No,
250K.
No, actually, he won $1,000 off lotto scratch tickets.
That is so bad.
That's what he won.
That is so bad.
$1,000, and guess how much? Wait! It's not over. Guess how much money he won off the scratch tickets?
How much?
$500.
What? Oh my God!
$500. That's what he won for making a half court shot at the Knicks game.
One thing I'll say right now, since we're talking about the Knicks,
Dolan, what are you doing?
The cheapest ticket for Zion's debut in New Orleans is like $24, right? The cheapest ticket for the Lakers-Knicks game at MSG tonight is about $500.
It just tells you.
Prices are crazy.
It just shows
they really
big
need
markets.
Fans
yeah.
right now.
They're a big market. They sell out every single game.
Imagine if the Knicks
and
were good.
And they've been bad for literally the last time they've been good was that Melo.
Melo, Amari Stoudemire.
But the thing is, that team, I was a Knicks fan, believe it or not. I was a diehard Knicks fan. It got too much for me to keep watching them lose, right?
J.R. Smith.
But they had the team, I think it was 2012, no, not 2012, that was Jeremy Lin. 2014, they won 52 games, number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference, right?
Yep.
Their team was amazing. But the thing about that team is they were super old. They were the oldest team in the NBA. They had Jason Kidd at 40, Kurt Thomas, who was like 38, Marcus Camby, who was really old as well. So it's like you had a good team, but you had literally no future. Like, as soon as Jason Kidd retired, became coach, Kurt Thomas was gone, Marcus Camby was gone, Rasheed Wallace was gone. Literally, all your whole team, their depth that you had is literally gone. And Amari and Melo did not mesh together. So, bad management as well to see that these two players don't play well together. Why are they still playing together?
The Knicks remind me of, I don't want to bring in another sport, but they remind me of the Toronto Maple Leafs. In terms of a team just being mediocre for so long and the fans just eat it up.
The one thing that the Maple Leafs have above the Knicks, at least they've been making the playoffs.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. It's better than not making the playoffs. Yeah. But for me, it's the fact that you can't even afford a Maple Leafs game.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's like $1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think if you want to,
and the team hasn't won a cup since 1967.
I think if you want to compare two teams, I think they lack that sort of drive and determinism because they're all in like, let's win now, let's do it, let's grind it out. This year's our year, and then after that.
No. Do you know why they lack that?
Why?
Because they know the fans will eat it up regardless of if they win or lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you go to Atlanta right now, do you think it's sold out? If you go to Atlanta.
Hell no.
Do you think if you go to Golden State, do you think it's sold out?
Oh, it's empty now. It's
do you
empty.
Think if you go to New Orleans,
crazy.
People want
to go see Jordan Poole?
Do you think that's sold out? Memphis, Phoenix. These places aren't sold out because they don't care if you're not winning.
Yeah.
And so once the fans here in Toronto and New York, once they stop showing up to games and put pressure on management to win, then they'll win.
Yeah.
But if they don't, then it's just a revolving door that will never end.
Oh, it's definitely stressful. You get the chairman's involved, you get the management team involved, you get whatever foundations, and they're like, what's going on? Big meetings, controversy.
Once they start losing money, then you'll see the Knicks, Maple Leafs, etc. start winning.
Yeah.
One thing that I want to talk about. So New York has had a history of players just eating them alive. One player that comes to mind is Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller, one of the greatest shooters, top five. There's no debate about that. Even just the numbers prove that he's top five shooter.
Top five player or top five shooter?
Top five shooter. Top five shooter.
Yeah.
I want to look at some. He's one of the underrated players when it comes to that era because there's so many players that came out that time.
I don't mean to cut you guys off, but because he didn't win a championship.
Exactly.
It always comes down to winning the championship. Exactly. It's important,
if you win a championship,
but it shouldn't be that important.
People always argue that against Reggie Miller, and people will always argue that with players in general.
They always say, you know what? Jordan's the greatest because you know why? He has six rings.
Six rings.
He won six times.
Melo, you haven't won a championship.
Come on, guys.
You're not good.
Come on.
Like, that's what people say.
Winning, if we're gonna do rings, if we're gonna do the ring debate, then Bill Russell has to be the GOAT because he has the most.
Yeah, and that's the stupidest.
And no one associates Bill Russell with being the GOAT because logic kicks in.
Exactly. One thing I'll say about that team, Casey Jones is a Hall of Famer, right?
Sam Jones too. Is Andrews Hall of Famer?
I'm pretty sure
he's a Hall of Famer.
Casey Jones averaged a whopping, like, this is crazy. Like, you guys are going to be like, wow, did he really average that much points throughout his time with the Celtics? He averaged, like, a season, I think it was a few seasons, 4.5 points per game.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
4.5 points per game.
You know why? Because he's a champion.
And one thing I want to have an episode about this, about potential Hall of Famers, which we'll have in the future. Comparing Hall of Famers right now that are in the Hall of Fame to players who are discussing about that we discussed about who should be in there. One thing I want to discuss later on in a different episode, because it's a very lengthy conversation, is Kyle Lowry deserving of being in the Hall of Fame?
I saw that right now.
Or do you
wait,
wanna,
well, I'm
do
just
you
I'm just pose the question now. You guys can comment down below in the comment section. What do you guys think? We'll talk about it as well. Because actually, when you think about it and break it down, it's actually you take some thought.
Yeah, it's a debate for
sure. It takes
some
thought.
It's a big debate.
And it's not just with basketball. It's not just what you've done on the court. It's what you've done off the court. Like, he's literally invoked a whole new revolution of basketball in Canada.
It's not even that. Kyle Lowry.
Huge fan.
He's out here serving the community like he's from here.
Yeah.
You go down to the local community center, you see Kyle Lowry handing out turkeys.
Oh, yeah, he does Thanksgiving every year.
Like, who does that?
Yeah.
No one does that anymore.
No one does that. No. If they do it, like, the two people that I know who do it a lot, actually, there's a few. Russell Westbrook back in OKC used to do it a lot.
Yeah.
Mike Conley back in Memphis.
Mike Conley's a good guy.
And Kyle Lowry. John Wall as well. So a lot of those smaller market teams have some guys, those are the few.
And, you know, LeBron.
LeBron
he's
always
in another,
does anything.
He's in another league of his own.
Yeah. Yeah. With that school.
That's cool, exactly.
With
that
school
he opened up.
All right, well, back to the Knicks for a second. Reggie Miller, one of the greatest shooters that we've ever seen, but he's considered one of the most underrated players when it comes to his generation because you obviously had Clyde Drexler, Michael Jordan, big names like that who kind of took away from the guard spot, right? If we look at some other players throughout history, there's a lot of underrated players that we look at, and I want to kind of get the conversation buzzing about who we feel deserves more recognition as NBA players throughout their careers. One player that I know comes to my mind is Michael Redd.
Yes.
Michael Redd was a killer, but because of injuries, his career went downhill. Same thing with Danny Granger. Before Paul George kind of emerged, that was Danny Granger's team. He was averaging like 25 points per game.
He was doing amazing. Yep.
Then injuries kind of derailed him as well. Gilbert Arenas, stud, killer.
Hibachi!
Agent Zero. Nobody wanted to face this guy because this guy could literally drop 50 on your head without even trying.
Yeah. I think there was one game in particular. I think he was even talking about it where he said, he went into the game saying he was going to drop 50, and he went out and dropped 50. It just shows you how
and he did it.
How lethal Gilbert Arenas was and the respect that he had from other players like LeBron and Kobe
and all those
guys. They respected Gilbert Arenas as, hey, this dude's for real.
He dropped 60 on Kobe's head.
And he really was. Like,
not anybody can drop 60.
His determination.
I don't know if you guys remember that game winner that he hit. I think it was
the
against,
one where he turned around.
Where it was against, I think it was Utah?
When he turned around.
He literally just walked up the court and just pulled a three and walked off and hit it.
No, his confidence is all the way up
here.
Like, my hand's all the way up.
He pulled a Nick Young in a much higher stake with way better confidence.
Yeah.
Like,
for sure.
Like, it was, Gilbert Arenas is a great player just because that whole off-court incident that happened kind of changed his image. But if you go back and watch some Gilbert Arenas highlights.
Yeah, go back and watch that. For the kids that are listening, go back and watch Gilbert Arenas highlights.
You will be educated.
He's great.
Like, one person I like to resemble him as for today's NBA is Damian Lillard, and we're just having to talk about it. Just based on the fact that Damian Lillard is a part of those underappreciated players, because if Damian Lillard was in any other era where there wasn't a Steph Curry, where there wasn't a Kyrie, he would be considered the best point guard in the NBA, in my opinion.
Yeah.
100% agree, but kind of disagree. Because, I don't know, the thing about Damian Lillard for me, there's just something about his game that's missing. I think it's, I don't want to say killer because
he has a killer mentality.
Saw what he did last year.
Yeah, PG.
So he has killer in him, but there's something missing.
Yeah.
And I can't put my finger on it. There's something about, maybe it's the ball handling skills. I don't know. Maybe it's the flash that he doesn't have.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there's something about Damian Lillard's game that doesn't translate to, maybe it's the fact that he plays in Portland, which is
halfway across the country. Yeah, I was going to say, we don't know what's going on inside his mind.
Yeah, and his game started at 10:30, and we're sleeping by the time he's out here dropping 60.
You don't know the frustrations he's going through because Portland has not started off in the best way right now.
Right, so
it's very disappointing.
So I don't know why Damian Lillard, or maybe the fact that he whines he doesn't get to the All-Star game. I don't know. But
yeah.
There's something
that
about...
That is crazy. Continue talking, though, but that is crazy.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that, I don't know, there's something about his game that, in terms of fan popularity, he's not up there with the Kyries, with the Stephs, with the Russes.
Yeah.
He's not up there with those guys, and I'm just not sure why. Yeah. But even for me personally, like, if I was naming a top five, I don't know, point guards, it would take a while for me to mention Dame. I'm just going to be truly honest with you. It's not the fact that I don't think he's a great player, but maybe it's the fact that he plays in Portland and I don't get to see him play as much.
Small market.
He's an outlier, as you can see in many ways, right? And that could possibly do with a lot of social media. Once again, everyone's hyping up Stephen Curry from his Davidson days all the way coming up to his Golden State days and developing into that.
Yeah, Damian Lillard even went to a major school too.
Weber State.
So it is possible.
And I think Damian Lillard got offers to major D1 schools, but he's always been that guy that's loyal. I remember Weber State was the first school to offer him a scholarship, and he stayed true to his word.
Maybe that would be his demise. The fact that he's too loyal.
Maybe.
Hey, and it's, man, this business isn't loyal, man. I'm
exactly.
Yeah.
We've seen it with DeMar DeRozan. We've seen it with Isaiah Thomas.
We've seen it DeMar DeRozan.
That's why we can't get mad at guys like KD
for making those type of decisions.
Both ways.
If they feel like, look, there's 30 teams in the NBA. And if they feel that they could get rid of you to get better, you're gone.
You're gone.
Yeah. You're gone.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how many points you score. It doesn't matter what you do in the community. If they feel they can get better when you're not on the team, they will do it in a heartbeat.
And it's hard.
So when guys like Kevin Durant and LeBron James take their own careers, even Paul George did Indiana a favor and OKC a favor. But
Same with Chris Paul and Anthony Davis.
But, you know, we're
they could have just
that.
Left, but they actually...
Anthony Davis could have just left, said, hey, you know what? I'm gone.
But you know what? Trade.
Trade me and get something back for me.
Exactly.
And they still want to boo him. Like, it's just fan logic just...
Yeah.
It's not... It just doesn't exist.
I got another topic if you guys want to talk about. I want to hear your opinion.
Can I just finish?
Yes, sir.
So, there is no loyalty in this game. So, Dame, if you're listening...
Please listen.
No, Portland... If they can get rid of you at some point to get better, they will.
Yeah.
So it's might as well you get out before they kick you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
Anyways, I was going to talk about, since we're talking about NBA past, maybe I'll go for a little throwback controversy in the NBA with Commissioner David Stearns. It's like kind of something that people went against him for, but how dangerous or how good or how bad or how dysfunctional do you think... would you guys think that what impact do you think that Chris Paul would have on the Lakers if he got traded there with Kobe?
The trade that got vetoed?
The trade that got vetoed by David Stern.
I'm going to start this off. That would be one of the scariest teams in recent memory.
You think so?
I think so, because the thing with Chris Paul that, especially in his prime, that like I had to really educate myself on, because I really started becoming a fan in 2012 when Jeremy Lin started coming up. So that's when Chris Paul, that veto just happened. I think he was with the Clippers about that time, right? Yeah, yeah, I think it was Clippers, about the Clippers, right? Clippers. Chris Paul was one of, like, he literally...
Wait, are you saying was Chris Paul on the Clippers?
Wait, was he on the
Chris
Clippers?
Chris Paul was on the Hornets.
Oh yeah, he got drafted by the Hornets.
Yeah, I know he was drafted by the Hornets, but was he on the Clippers around 2012?
Oh,
yeah, I was on the Clippers.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
He got traded in 2011.
But Chris Paul literally carried New Orleans to relevancy. Like, with he literally pushed them so much in the playoffs against teams. And if you had him, because he has that mentality where, like, he'll kill you. We even seen it in the playoffs, in the 2018 playoffs, I should say, when the Rockets were going at the Warriors, and they should have won Game 7, I should say, if they didn't go 1-for-17. But then again, you don't know if the Warriors are going to match them back, because it's Golden State.
I think it was 1-for-27.
Yeah, 1-for-27. Or they missed 27 straight. I think it was 27 straight threes.
Something like that.
Yeah, but it was crazy.
All we know is they missed a lot of threes.
They died by the three-pointer.
And they still lost in single digits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But I think Kobe and Chris Paul at that time is an amazing backcourt. And also, I think with Chris Paul on that team. Wait, let me just say this one point. With Chris Paul on the Lakers, I think that extends Kobe Bryant's longevity with his career. I don't think that Achilles injuries happened, because he was pushed that season to do so much for them.
Wasn't that the Dwight Howard season? Exactly. I was just about to say, I don't think that works.
I don't think Chris Paul in LA works.
With Kobe Bryant.
We wouldn't know because we haven't experienced it. I wonder if it'll work.
I mean, it's all hypothetical.
Let's hear your point.
For me, Kobe needs to play with a guy that can get him the ball when he wants the ball. And I don't think that's Chris Paul's strength. I think Chris Paul is more of a, hey, let me get... I'm not saying he's a stat patter.
Yeah.
But it's more like the Rondo school of more passing. It's more like, hey, you know, 5-4-3, let me kick to a shooter in the corner. I'm not saying that's bad basketball.
It's just a way so they can force the shot up.
It's just the way he plays.
That's what you're saying.
And I think a guy like Kobe would have to... That's why he works with Derek Fisher. That's why it worked.
Yeah,
because Derek Fisher could see that. Get him the ball and, hey, you know what, Derek, go stand in the corner, and when I give you the ball, you can shoot a three.
Mm-hmm. And then they eventually got Steve Nash.
Exactly. And that was interesting. That didn't work either, because
Steve Nash was washed at that point.
Kobe, and Howard.
But Dwight Howard, too, I don't... That Kobe-Dwight Howard thing was never going to work anyway, because Dwight Howard played too much, and Kobe didn't like that.
Maturity wasn't there.
Exactly, so... I got
the full trade, if you guys want
to
hear
it. It would have been good to see, obviously, and they would have lost Pau Gasol in that trade, too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Lamar Odom and Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
And that would have definitely handicapped them for sure.
And before you say the trade, one thing I want to... I feel personally, I think when you have two players of that stature, because we can agree that those were elite players in the NBA.
Chris Paul and Deron Williams. Like, remember, who would you rather pick? And people were like, I'm okay with both. Yeah. Like, whoever I get.
I think when you're that elite, I think you're able to figure out a way to play together. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
When you're that good. That's why, like, players like Carmelo and Amari weren't able to figure out a way to play together. They weren't at that stature where they're so good, where they're able to mesh each other's games.
One person would have to take a step back. And I think Chris Paul's hard-headed.
That is true.
Definitely hard-headed. He ran Shaq out of town.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It might have worked. I don't know, but I'm just saying in my mind.
It would have been scary.
I don't think it would have been very interesting. I don't think they would have been as good as if he would have been, obviously, in L.A. with the Clippers.
I think the best situation for him was the Clippers.
Lob
City, yeah. Anyway, say that full trade just so we get a better idea.
So it says, under the terms of the deal that was vetoed, the Lakers would have sent Pau Gasol to the Rockets, and it was a three-team trade. So the Hornets would have also received Lamar Odom. Hornets would also receive prime Kevin Martin in a way, young Goran Dragic, and Luis Scola. And Houston has also agreed to send a 2012 first-round pick previously obtained from the Knicks to New Orleans as part of the package. So it was a three-team trade. Wait. So although Chris Paul and Kobe would have been a good duo, they lost some leverage on their team. They lost prime Pau Gasol. They lost prime Lamar Odom.
So the Pelicans would have got Lamar Odom, Goran Dragic, and Kevin Martin?
Yeah.
That is not that bad.
The Hornets. We got Lamar Odom, Kevin Martin, Goran Dragic, and Scola. They got four players.
That is not a bad return.
Young Goran Dragic, prime Lamar Odom, and not too bad Kevin Martin, who was
Kevin
going
Martin
off.
Kevin Martin was averaging like around 20 points a game at that point.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He's a professional scorer.
Kevin was great.
That is not that bad of a trade.
Yeah, but I think got vetoed for other reasons.
I think it's like Lakers just came off of like winning championships, so it's like Davis Stern was just worried about, oh my gosh, the NBA's all fans are like, oh, it's rigged. The big market always gets the great player, so he's just trying to like save face for that. Cause look what happened with Adam Silver with the Warriors. The way the fans say, hey, you could have done something, but at the same time, it's free agency. You can't really do anything.
But I think David Stern saw what happened now and kind of chose this path. You know what I mean? With him choosing, he said, let me put him on the Clippers and make them good.
Yes.
And then see, the Lakers are already good.
And yeah.
So we don't need them to be better. They were the defending champs or whatever it was.
Yeah. They just thought it just fit with
And then the
Chris
Clippers
Paul
were obviously
Clippers.
The Clippers were the lonely Clippers.
They were like the worst team in basketball.
And they had Blake Griffin coming up, so let's
hype them up.
Let me tag Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think it worked out, actually.
I think it did work out. I think that was probably the best situation.
Yeah, I think he did see this, and again, RIP to David Stern.
But one thing about those Clippers team is that was one of the most underachieving teams I've ever seen as a basketball fan.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to talk about right now, what are some teams that come to mind to you in the past whatever how many years that are some of the most underachieving NBA teams? For me, what comes to mind is that Phoenix Suns team, the 7 seconds or less team. I think
the team lost to the Spurs?
Yes. Just because I think if they never go up against the Spurs, they end up getting to the finals. But then San Antonio was just their kryptonite. Because there's so many times Western Conference Finals, it was just San Antonio they bumped into. They were able to beat the Lakers, but it was just San Antonio. That's one team that comes up to me. Also, that Oklahoma City Thunder team, they shouldn't have broke that up so fast.
That was over $4 million.
Yeah. $4 million. And look at what James Harden is now.
It's not even like $4 million per year. It was just $4
million.
And I swear they've been in the luxury tax with PG and Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
So it kind of shows how karma comes back at you fast. That team is one of the teams that come to mind of underachievers. Also,
I got an interesting one after you're done.
Yeah, let me hear you.
This guy, I know you guys shared like your most underrated players, so this is kind of connected to my underrated player, but I'm going to talk about the Denver Nuggets being underachieving. I'm not talking about the Melo. I'm talking about Alex English and Fat Lever being one of the most underrated teams in the league coming from the 1980s. You know, Alex English was drafted by Milwaukee, but when he came to Denver, he came already and he was averaging 21. And to be honest, he's really unspoken of because he put them on the map. Alex English put Denver on the map. They were no one before. They just got into the league. They had their inaugural season. There was no one there. Fat Lever is, you know what? I think he's one of the most underrated back in the day. I think that duo was the most underrated. You know, Alex English could play the two and the three, and he kept going up every year. He had his best career season in 82-83 when he averaged 28.4, and he was doing great. And you know what? That's my connection right there. And right
I wasn't going to go that far.
Back in the day.
I was going to say.
That was my connection.
I don't know. If I had to pick one, maybe the greatest show on court, that 0-1 Sacramento Kings.
Oh.
Chris Webber.
I feel bad for
my baby.
Peja, that squad.
Peja.
Kings fans, I'm going to put a little timestamp so you guys don't have to hear this because I know how fuming Kings fans are when it comes to that team. But keep talking.
Yeah, there's stories. They got robbed in Game 7.
They definitely got robbed.
The controversy.
In L.A.
They definitely got robbed.
And if you go back and look at the tape,
I watched videos of a bunch of YouTubers or people would be saying, it's rigged. There's a lot of videos that people believe.
Yeah. That team is a huge. They should have done big things. They should have. Portland as well. The one that they choked against the Lakers.
Yeah.
They should have been to the finals. That was a great team as well.
Yeah. And that was Lakers twice in those scenarios. You notice that Lakers have a certain repeat pattern there.
The NBA, okay, let's just be honest. The NBA knows if the Lakers win the championship,
it's all sports.
They're going to make so much money from the. If the Knicks won the championship.
That's why I don't think sports is rigged, because if it was rigged,
the Knicks and
the Knicks would be
winning.
Really good. The Maple Leafs would win the cup every year.
Exactly.
That's why I don't think that it's rigged.
Dallas Cowboys would be winning every single year.
That's why I don't think that it's rigged.
Mm-hmm.
It's just there's a couple situations where you could say, or at least the NBA is guiding things in a certain direction.
Sure. Maybe the lottery.
If it was rigged, Raptors would not made the finals.
You could, you could be justified.
Right. ESPN and the NBA, I don't know how much money they made, but it sure wasn't a lot.
Apparently, there's something where I heard, I think the finals might have been different, but the ESPN or any like major, when games are nationally televised and it's in Toronto, they don't make money off of those ratings.
Yeah.
Because of something with just the nations or some deal they have, right? That's why they don't really want games in Toronto.
Right. That's why I hate when people are like, ESPN hates the Raptors. God. No, they don't hate the Raptors. They just don't make any money off the Raptors.
That's why the Knicks
crossing the border.
That's why they don't want the Raptors.
You're in the six now.
They don't care about the Raptors. I mean, they don't care that, you know, if the Raptors win or lose.
Yeah.
The fact that they don't make any money off the Raptors, that's why they don't have them on TV.
Yeah, yeah. And people were saying that, since we're on the controversy, like setup games and refs, the people were saying that the Brooklyn versus Raptors Game 7 game was rigged from the 2012-2013.
I don't think so.
Like, I mean, people made a lot of accusations because we were so close to beating them. We thought we had a really underrated team and we were trying to make a run, and it wasn't. People said that Paul Pierce block was a foul on Lowry.
No, it wasn't. It was just that team was just younger going up against a team with crazy amount of experience.
I wanted to believe that, but I knew, I'm like,
yeah, every time I kept saying it was a foul when I was younger, I kept watching the highlight. I'm like, that was clean.
I was crying when Lowry got blocked. Yeah. I was like, we had it.
Of course the refs make mistakes. They're human.
Yeah.
Yeah, mistakes are made.
To go out and say that the league is rigged is very
ignorant,
I would say.
Yeah. Well, we have 5 minutes left, and there's a couple things that I think we should shed light on. Some personal stories, just to end off on a little brighter note. What is your favorite moment from this past decade? This decade, though.
Oh, that's easy.
Favorite moment. Okay. Okay. Is it the Raptors championship?
Yeah.
What else would it have been? We all live in Toronto, if you guys don't know. All of us are, majority of us are Raptors fans, you could say, or lean towards the Raptors are our favorite team, just because hometown bias.
Yeah, I see them the most, probably.
So, but other than that, because we can go on for that, but what else comes to mind? Maybe a play or just a moment?
Do you want me to go first?
Whoever wants to go first. Whoever has one off the top of their head.
I got mine right now. But besides the Raptors championships, it's kind of something that's, I think people know, but they don't know. Do you guys remember that Joe Johnson cross on Paul Pierce? That was one of the happiest moments in my life. Like, he went back like six times. There's like six small dribbles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Paul Pierce was like that on the floor.
Paul Pierce was diving like he was diving for like a penny or something.
And he hit it.
This guy's playing Twister.
Like if you drop money in front of a homeless guy.
Was that your Joe Johnson's like comeback season from when he came? I know we throw back with Atlanta with Josh Smith and him. That was a pretty good duo. But when he came to Brooklyn, he was great. He killed the Raptors in the playoffs too.
He tortured us all three years. He was great. Him and Darren Williams.
I was a big fan of Joe Johnson to this day.
I've been saying for a while that I think Joe Johnson is one of the most clutch players in the NBA history.
Oh, definitely. It's just that his huge contract kind of put a bad name on him.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard for any player to live up to that if you're not a LeBron caliber, Stephen Curry caliber, where the money's deserving because you brought the championships in.
Yeah.
For you to pay a guy like Joe Johnson that much money and then for him to like kind of just be leading you to the second round, obviously gonna put a bad name, but that is a great moment, especially since we all hate Paul Pierce. Well, I don't know about Justin, but
I don't really hate Paul Pierce. I hate Paul Pierce just because of what he did to my
hates a strong word for me, but I would say I dislike him.
I hated when he went up against the Raptors. I'll say that when he went up against Raptors, I hated him.
I used the word hate a lot against the Raptors. Now I say dislike.
I say dislike because he said some stupid stuff on TV.
Yeah, I think he's probably.
What do you say? Yeah, he has a better career than Dwayne Wade. Get out of here.
He was just saying that for.
Was he the one that faked his injury, but he actually had to go to the washroom, right?
I got to take a dookie. All right, for me, I'll say my favorite play would have to be my favorite moment for me. Is when, other than the Raptors championship, I'm a Raptors fan, so this is a Raptors moment, was probably Terrence Ross's 51-point game against the Clippers.
Ooh, it was a very underrated one.
Just
I like that one a
like,
lot.
I was watching it.
It came out of nowhere.
Literally, that's why. And at that moment, the way I felt like this guy is our future. And then the next game, he dropped less than 10 points. Yeah. Like,
you know what that kind of reminds me of? Yeah. When Brandon Jennings dropped 55 as a rookie.
Oh.
then everyone thought he was that guy, but he never really was that guy. He just had a really good game.
Imagine your prime being when you're a rookie.
Right, yeah. He just peaked like, too early.
And Mo Williams did the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like later in his career.
Corey Brewer as well.
50 something. Yeah. Corey Brewer too. And then after that, they didn't have.
All right, Justin, let's wrap it up with yours. What's yours?
Well, you know, 2016, game 7.
This guy's going to paint the picture right now.
Oakland, California. Warriors up. Or maybe they were down. I can't remember.
I think they were up.
Andre Iguodala grabs the ball. He's dribbling on a fast break. J.R. Smith. Oh, no, sorry. Steph Curry dribbling down the court. Excuse me. Gives a bounce pass to Andre Iguodala. J.R. Smith gets a hand up. Forces Iguodala to double clutch. And the number 23, out of nowhere.
Blocked by James.
Pins the ball to the backboard and seals the victory for Cleveland. Their first championship in 54 years. The King did it.
They literally copy and pasted. What was it, Kevin Harlan? I think they copy. Was that Kevin Harlan announced?
Mike Green.
I think they copy and pasted that guy and put him on 2K.
Yeah.
I think when LeBron gets a block on 2K, blocked by LeBron.
And he blocked it, and that secured the championship, which everyone has been waiting for.
That is one of the most defining moments, I think, of this generation. And we can't wait to see what this next generation of NBA crop and talent has set in place for us to look at what could lead to something of that nature, a play of that nature. But it's been a great episode with the boys, I believe.
One of my favorites,
for sure.
And you know what? Next episode, we'll get back to talking about what's happening this season. But we thought it was nice to just turn the clock back a bit, educate some fans about stuff they didn't know. With that being said, I'm Nakeem.
Name is Malik.
Justin, I'm out.
And we're out.
Oh, should we say something about Stetson? I forgot about
Stetson. Oh, yes. My apologies. We did not mean... Wow. Stetson, our boy Stetson, was not able to be here today because he's feeling
better,
under the
weather.
Yeah, so prayers up to our boy Stetson, you know. All love over here. Hopefully, he'll be back next week. Let's all hope that he's back next week.
Yes, for sure.
And, yeah, that's it. We're out. Peace.